The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of David, his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's passage is very, very familiar to us. We hear it many times. Also, as we pray the rosary, first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, and ponder upon this scene. And there is much deep theology about this scene that I could wax about eloquently. Like, this is where we get the Immaculate Conception, or at least justify that belief, because the original language says, "She who is already filled with grace," not "who is filled with grace." And also Mary being the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Spirit overshadowing her like a cloud, is the image throughout the Old Testament when the people traveled through the desert with the Ark containing the Ten Commandments and manna, and the meeting tent, the cloud would descend upon the meeting tent when Moses went inside with the ark. And when the first temple was built by Solomon and they processed the ark in, a shadow or the cloud of the Holy Spirit descended upon it. And many other allusions showing that Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant, the one who bears God within her very self, believed in the temple of the Old Testament was the dwelling of God. In the New Testament, Mary is the dwelling of God that gives birth to Jesus in the world. Many other things contained in this passage, but what's most important and helpful and practical is to meditate upon Mary's reaction to all this. And you know, she was probably quite young, betrothed to Joseph, which means they were already engaged, not yet fully married, but according to Jewish law, really married. And a penalty for infidelity would be the same as that of adultery. And so when the angel comes to her and speaks to her, that alone is frightening enough. But then when he says, "You will have a child," the consequences could be her life. But if not even that, imagine a young mother, young father too, I would guess, or young spouse, you person about to be married, with your whole world ahead of you, your whole life, your plans, right? You know how it's supposed to go. You're going to get married, live happily ever after, have a house, a job, maybe kids. And all that is put in jeopardy by the angel's message. What's Joseph going to think? Will he divorce me? Will he not believe this? What will it mean about our future? And so she is troubled greatly. And she asks, how can this happen? And that asking is not a lack of faith, we learn from our tradition, but it's a genuine question. I believe you, Lord, but how? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. And with God, God can do anything. And so imagine that troubled position of Mary and put ourselves in that. Because Mary is given to us today as a model for our lives. In our baptisms, we are supposed to die to self and say yes to God's plan. Mary was part of God's plan of salvation. She bore Christ to the world. We are supposed to be part of God's plan of salvation, continuing to bear Christ to the world by our words, by our actions, because we are temples of the Holy Spirit too through baptism. And yes, if we really think about what that might cost us, or if we really put our plans for our lives at the service of God, who may change it all as quickly as he's done now to Mary, are we willing to say yes? Do we have that kind of faith and courage? Well, I think if you're honest, if I'm honest, many of us don't. But here is what was beautiful about the passage, I think. Mary had faith. And although she didn't understand, she said, yes, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your will. And she didn't have to then try to worry about all the things that might go wrong. We too are called to have that same kind of faith and give God that yes without even knowing the consequences, right? Many of us say, Father, you know, I'd love to know God's will for my life. Yes, I would say yes if I knew what it was. But you know what? It doesn't work that way. Our yes of faith, like Mary gave today, is really the first step to know God's will. Because God needs an invitation into our life. And so we are called to say, yes, Lord, I come to do your will. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your plan. And once we give God that yes, that frees God to work in our lives. And yes, it may have great personal consequences. It may upset our plans. But we can see in Mary's life and in the world, and it is true, I think you have already discovered, that God's plans, although they might be different, are greater for our life than sometimes our own plans. Because our own plans are only human. And if we only set about the things we can do as a human, we will always fall short of our greatest potential. We are in flesh spirits. God is meant to work through us. And we, first and foremost, are meant to be a instrument in God's plan of salvation. And so today I invite you, if you have the courage, to say yes to the Lord again, anew, as you would at your baptism, and say, Lord, I want to be part of your plan of salvation. Yes, I wish to give birth to Christ in the world by word and action so that others may experience that salvation. Yes, I wish to proclaim, like Mary, God's greatness. Yes, I wish to serve others, like Mary went and served Elizabeth. Yes, I wish to testify to others of the greatness of God and what God has done for me, like Mary did. Yes, I wish to rejoice in God, my Savior. This is our invitation today. The yes we can give to God might be the greatest Christmas gift we give. Let us give God that yes and say, yes, Lord, I come to do your will, even without knowing, because I have faith. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your will.